Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's great to have with us, as we have the privilege of doing each week, Kevin Freeman, our senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy with the Economic Warfare Portfolio, but he is a massively influential contributor in a lot of other fashions as well. He has a terrific website, globaleconomicwarfare.com. He is also the author of two superb books related to this subject, Secret Weapon and Game Plan. He is soon to be the star of a television program, Economic War Room, with Kevin Freeman, which we wait with great expectation. But as we do, his visits with us. So, Kevin, without further ado, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you, Frank.
So, Kevin, on the blog, you have a new series, apparently, entitled Winds of War, which has a certain ominousness to it. Talk about something that, frankly, I hadn't appreciated, which is that capital flight from the United States is now a problem. As we listen to the president talking about the rather rosy picture he painted for America's economic position, this would seem to be a contrary indicator.
Well, absolutely it is, and it came in this week's Barron's, where they were talking about, despite the very strong stock market, despite the fact that the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, which would make American securities more attractive, despite the good economic growth that we have, despite the fact that we've lowered tax rates and allow corporate repatriation, we have seen money actually exit the United States. And the question is why?
And the question's answer is?
Well, it's quite possibly that this is a part of the Putin-China play to remove the dollar's reserve currency, to displace the United States as the head of the world financial system. It is absolutely economic warfare.
And Kevin, does that have, is it cause and effect, really, I guess is what I'm asking. Is that the reason why we are now having to pay higher interest rates to attract capital to the bond markets? And if so, what are the implications of that for example, our debt?
Well, initially, higher interest rates are part of the normalization. This is something that should have taken place years ago. The Federal Reserve lowered interest rates so low, and it allowed for a lot of misallocation of capital. And then the European Central Bank actually went to negative interest rates, to where the borrower was being paid by the lender to take money. But we're seeing that normalization. But the implication is, with the $20 trillion international debt, if foreign governments cease purchasing U.S. Treasury bonds, which is what the push is from Putin ultimately, then it will cause interest rates not just to go back to normal levels, but to go well above normal levels, and that would be catastrophic with the debt levels that we have.
Kevin, there's much more to talk about the president's remarks last night in Davos, for that matter. But I did want to focus in on two other topics that you've called to my attention that are very unsettling. One is this phenomenon of the Internet of Things. I have seen the rather remarkable characterization of how widespread this phenomenon now is. The numbers of devices around the planet that are now described as, I guess, internet-connected, internet-capable, exceeds the number of people on the planet, which is really saying something. And as you've pointed out in the past, very little attention has been given to the need to secure these sorts of devices. In fact, they've been characterized as having a lack of out-of-the-box security. Talk a little bit about the implications of that, Kevin, and what we're already beginning to see in terms of that vulnerability being exploited.
Well, the implications are twofold. One is that individuals are completely tracked by their service providers and ultimately by governments, if they wish, or anyone who's willing to pay the price. I mean, I have iPads and iPhones and computers, and so it doesn't surprise me the statistic, at least for Americans, that we have far more internet-related things than we have people. But it's a worldwide phenomenon, as you point out. Now, that's one thing if you're being tracked so that they can sell you more stuff. It's another thing if you're being tracked so that a police state can control you. It's a simply other thing if a foreign government is tracking you as an act of espionage in preparation for war. And I'm afraid that the last one is the most serious, and it's absolutely real.
And we're not paying any attention to it, as best I can tell. But beyond the things that are obvious, like, you know, your cell phone and your laptop and so on, less obvious is the fact that your refrigerator and your, you know, home heating system and your security system and your Alexis, you know, are all wired in a way that can be exploited by people who wish not to just track you, but perhaps affect your lives, perhaps even your car being hijacked by hostile forces. Is this, you know, over-the-top thinking, or is this actually now a distinct possibility and problem?
Smart meter, clothes, irons, smart clothing that is being developed. No, it is absolutely a real threat and a real problem. If you know if you have access to the smart meters, you have access to the grid, and you can control electricity usage and you can move it. And it becomes even more significant when you consider that China is now trying to use their influence from their economic strength in companies that invest in China. And so they're demanding certain behavior from individuals and corporations or anyone else that they can possibly touch.
Well, interestingly, the Washington Post had a piece the other day in which it talks about, under the headline, Command and Control, China's Communist Party Extends Reach into Foreign Companies, that the Chinese Communist Party is now demanding explicitly that they have a role in the decision-making of companies that are investing in or otherwise doing business in China. Again, Kevin Freeman, I mean, the implications of this for the loss of intellectual property or the compromise of products that are coming out of China, if in fact the Chinese are interested in engaging in economic or perhaps even other kinds of warfare, no?
Oh, absolutely. You would be hesitant to take money from a mafia boss that was running a neighborhood adjacent to yours. And we should be hesitant to consider Chinese money because it comes with all sorts of strings attached. And we know this. We've talked about the Confucius Institutes, where if you take money at college, you can't speak ill of China anywhere in the college. You sign an agreement. And China, it emanates from their political philosophy of control.
And it's up to them to determine whether what you're speaking is ill of China or simply the truth, rather than it being something that can be objectively assessed by professors or administrations or let alone students. And Kevin, I guess the takeaway from all of this is it seems to me that we probably should have heard more about economic warfare in the speech, last night's for sure, if not the one in Davos as well. It seemed to be largely absent.
Well, there was an after-action report from Davos, for example, that did mention explicitly economic warfare, and I was reviewing that last night. So there is this underlying awareness, and there was awareness mentioned in the speech. I thought it was a great speech, by the way. He talked about intellectual property, didn't mention China specifically. He talked about national security and Iran, North Korea, and ISIS, and so forth. So I thought it was a great speech, but I thought I would have loved to have heard more because his national security strategy is spot on in this regard.
Yeah, and that's, I think, in part thanks to the hard work that you have been doing to educate all of us about the dangers we're facing, and it's not always heartening, but it is always informative to have a chance to visit with you about them here at Secure Freedom Radio. I look forward to doing so with you again next week. Look forward to talking to the rest of you again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.